Counseling question number 4. Describe how to develop involvement with a counselee. What is the difference between empathy and involvement? Is this difference significant? My response. There is a stark contrast between involvement and empathy or sympathy. The secular view of support is to not become too involved with your counselee. This passive approach may mean well but fall short. Involvement is not passive, but active. It determines to not simply show support from the sidelines, but purpose to get off the bench, roll up one's sleeves, and help dig the person out. The reality is that the love we need to exercise in counseling can only be understood from the biblical perspective. Empathy and support have been drastically misunderstood, and as a result, wrongly applied to hurting people because of this misunderstanding. Empathy can only come from entering into the problem so that it becomes one's own. The Holy Spirit expressed this through Paul to the Romans when he commanded, quote, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep," end quote, Romans 12, verse 15. He later communicated to the Galatian church, quote, "If anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, bear one another's burdens," end quote. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2. It is not biblical to express common emotions to someone and then simply act as a faceless mirror, allowing the person to somehow work out their own issues. To do so is to be scared for someone who is drowning, yet still watching from the shore. The counselor must become actively involved, similarly to how God showed his love by sacrificially giving of himself. Quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave," John 3:16. He, quote, "loved me and gave himself up for me," end quote, Galatians 2, verse 20. Quote, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her," end quote, Ephesians 5, verse 25. And if, quote, "your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink," end quote, Romans 12, verse 20, emphasis mine. Jesus' example of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, verses 33 through 37, shows that loving care did not stop when the onlooker simply, quote, "felt compassion," end quote, verse 33. The following verses shows that he, quote, "came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him," end quote. This does not suggest mere kindness is enough. Morality is not the source of our hope. It is the love of God that must motivate the love with which we must counsel. As a result, counselees must be constantly pointed to the love of God and his promises and the hope and work that the risen Savior accomplished. Because secular support excludes these promises and hopes, they harmfully deny the power of God. Such support is empty and vain. Involvement is the first of 7 crucial steps that the Institute of Biblical Counseling and Discipleship promote. While the goal must be love for God and one's neighbor, quote, "becoming too sympathetic to the complaints and excuses of the counselee," end quote, is a chief reason nuthetic counselors fail. While counselors must be involved, the warning is to stay straightforward, promoting God's glory to the counselee in an authoritative approach. If the counselor is over-emotional, the ability to observe sin and righteousness becomes clouded. A counselor must also be careful not to become an emotional crutch for counseling. The emotional connection between the two needs to be strong. He or she must bear with their burdens and weep with them as they weep. The application of the counseling must not be hindered by emotions. Rather, the love, care, and concern for the counselee must be used to confront, exhort, and command the counselee to love the Lord their God with all their heart. The counselor must pour him or herself into the counselee, helping in all ways, knowing that ultimately the Lord needs to be at work in the counselee's life, and the counselee needs to be working to honor him.